pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Legends Podcast takes a detour from Blockbuster to Blumhouse with 2017's surprisingly successful debut film from writer-director Jordan Peele. In making the transition from TV sketch comedy to horror, Peele put a terrifying spin on the classic Guess Who's Coming to Dinner setup. Get Out earned a massive $250 million on a $4.5 million budget and garnered multiple awards and nominations, including an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for Peele. But does this scary story add up to a modern classic, or should Peele get out of the movie business? Seriously, though, no, he shouldn't.
No, this guy's a genius.
He's good.
Yeah, you know, he's known for comedy.
Yes.
So when that got out last year, I was like,
Get Out?
Yeah, I was like, why is he making a horror movie? And this is something fun, because for some reason I never got to see it, never saw a trailer, never read the script. I had no idea what I was getting into. And this was a hell of a ride.
What you got into?
Okay.
Get Out. Get into Get Out.
Get Out.
Beef.
I too had really nothing to base this on. I heard all the buzz, so as usual, if I have no interest in it necessarily, and then there's a lot of buzz, I'm afraid to see it.
Right.
Just because I know most likely it's going to disappoint me.
Sure.
But my girlfriend is like you, where she pays attention to all the awards and whatnot.
Right.
And she's part of the bookmobile. So this just randomly showed up on one of her pickups from the bookmobile one day, and we got into that one weekend, and I was pleasantly surprised by
everything. You watched everything it in the bookmobile?
No, we watched it on her couch, but from... Man...
What's a bookmobile?
It's a traveling library thing.
Okay.
Basically, she can sign up for books or sign up for movies or whatever, and if she can't make it to the library once every week or other week, it's parked in a parking lot. It's like a old bus.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then you did it in the bookmobile too, right?
No, I mean, I have never been in the bookmobile with her. Different cast. Lobster, what'd you think of this?
It's all right. I'm the same as you. Like, I heard that there was buzz. I heard, that Jordan Peele was doing this movie. I know I saw the trailer at some point, because I kind of knew that Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener were in it. But I didn't really know anything about it. And it's one of those things where once it started getting big, right, and people were talking about this movie, and Wing knows that I play a box office game, so I'm keyed into what's doing well, and it was doing well, kind of a sleeper hit. And that's when I stuck my fingers in my ears and went, la, 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 la. And I managed to get to the point of watching it this weekend.
That's the first time.
Not knowing any spoilers. Like, not knowing. Yeah, it's the first time. Right.
So we all sucked. We needed the movie to win an Oscar to watch it. God, we suck.
Yeah. No, I was going to watch it anyway, because it just seemed like And I think I've said this before. I don't watch horror movies. Jesus, the thunder. That's ominous, right? I don't watch horror movies. You will now, fool. But no, as a rule, I generally don't watch a lot of horror movies. It's not a genre that I go to the way I go to science fiction, let's say. But when this started getting the buzz that it got and kind of the bona fides that it had, I was like, yeah, I really need to see this. Kind of how I feel about A Quiet Place, right? So A Quiet Place, again, I have not seen it yet.
No. But
I saw the trailer for it. But that's somebody coming from comedy directing a horror film. And I'm like, oh, these are kind of the ones that are hitting right now, is these people that have done comedy and then in the case of Jordan Peele, his first feature film, he does this. John Krasinski, I know, had done another film, but to kind of come to that fresh, and then these are the ones that are doing well at the box office.
Let's be honest, if you're good at comedy, usually, because people don't give enough credit to comedy, it's tough.
Well, comedy is just human timing. Pain. Well, yeah, it's right, human but pain, it's, but timing better. Like, yeah, there's a punchline to it.
And it's also misdirection. So, you know, I tell you a joke, and the punchline is often because your mind kind of went one place, but I took it a different direction. So I can see a lot of that in what Jordan Peele does with Get Out. He's playing with, again, these are ideas that we're familiar with as a society, right? I reference Guess Who's Coming to Dinner from the 1960s all the way to today. These issues of kind of race and relationships are still prevalent, but at the same time, he's subverting that and adding this eerie sort of element to it. And things are awkward and weird because of the setup, but he's adding layers to that, and it works fun.
All right. I want to ask a few questions here. The layers. Obviously, spoiler alert, we're talking about a movie here. When did you guys know? Did you know she was in on it? What did you guess? Where did you see? Did you have any idea? I mean, this was my second viewing, so it's pretty vague when you watch it. You may have some concept, but you don't know.
Exactly. You get the concept, but when they got to the brain transplant part, totally missed that. And
the coagula.
Right.
And this is a movie that...
That old video in the basement?
Yeah, but this is a movie that gives you a lot of refrigerator moment. When you're watching the movie, maybe two, three things really took me out. But the rest is when the movie was out... was ending, I was like, why all the other black people that have the brain of the grandparents and all that shit act like they were freaking weirdos? I mean, if the brain transplant worked that well, they could have acted more normally than that. I know the movie needs to do that to convey to the
audience.
There's
more. I think there's bleed through occasionally. They kind of twitch out and don't have control.
Yeah. And they always say like, oh... They treat us like family.
Right. I have no one to fear. Well, now imagine you're trying to control someone's body who you've never controlled.
Right, right.
And they're fighting back from the sunken place. I got that way more on my second viewing, that the people inside the, you know, the grandma and the grandpa and the cook and the servant are like way, I don't know, they're there, but they're not. You can see them twitching through more.
And I think it's... They're clearly like the first generation,
right?
That went through this process. So there are
18 having problem with flashes. That's
the shoebox full of my first black boyfriends,
and they're up on the wall.
They're
up on the wall after the trophies.
Oh, they were? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
Oh, yeah. She's sitting there listening to whatever, eating Cheerios.
I had the time of my life.
Right. Eating Fruit Loops and looking up top NCAA prospects.
Yep.
Oh.
It's great.
But the flash is a great comeback.
And that's funny because I can never get the flash on my camera phone to work, right? It's either on when I don't want it to be on, like happens in the movie, or it just won't come on. But to go back to this idea that there are, throughout the film, there are hints that stuff is happening, right? Stuff is amiss. And it's I can definitely see, I only had time to watch it once, but I kind of went back and thought, I'm like, oh, they said that the grandfather wanted to be a sprinter. And, you know, then you see the gardener sprinting across the lawn. And,
oh,
you know,
I never even like put that guy. Together.
Yep.
That's true. The grandfather wanted to be a black sprinter.
My notes that he got beat by Jesse Owens. Whatever, and I still didn't put that together.
Yeah, that's a second viewing kind of thing.
I didn't even get it.
So much that you're picking here and there. When do you get there? There's a problem with the basement. The people are
weird. The basement's full of mold.
Right,
you can't go in there. It's like the wing of the house that's off limits.
Yeah, but you didn't know it'd be like brain transfer or anything like that.
No.
Just felt off. Like the guy getting kidnapped in the very beginning of the movie. My girlfriend and I looked at that DeAndre or whoever got picked off in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
we looked at each other and went, wow, they're not taking any time to starting this movie. Yeah.
Okay, I have to come clean. Maybe I'm racist. I didn't recognize the guy in the middle of the movie. Not at all. Unfortunately.
Well, you saw him.
My girlfriend,
saw-
that, Yeah, Shark Tank got to tell me, no, it's the guy from the cigar.
Yeah, but that's he was completely different. He was dressed up like a white socialite, and I think he had a different haircut.
In daylight,
yeah.
So that's something that I would have missed if I've watched it.
But I don't think you're meant to recognize him right away. I don't think the film.
I think Chris is supposed to help you with that.
Yeah, you kind of come to the realization that, that's the guy from the beginning.
Putting the movie together, basically.
I like how Chris says, you know, I didn't recognize him till then, till he came at me. Like, he may have seen him at parties or whatever, but they had one altercation once, which made him remember him.
Or you. So much of what a person is not just the way they look, but their speech, their mannerisms, the way they carry themselves.
These black people were so white when they were speaking, using the word, the way they were acting. And that is, I think, that's part of the movie.
Right. And I think that's what this film does well, is it kind of plays with those expectations of, you know, if there's kind of a cultural thing, right? Like, it could be anything. You know, I mean, you would know if a non-French Canadian person was just pretending to be French Canadian, right?
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, and true, when he got the flash, Dre got control of his own body or some semblance of it. So that's why Chris noticed him as well.
Yeah.
Right. He came back.
I love when the grandfather Buddy came back, the first reaction he has was like, I want to die.
Yeah, kill me. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to kill myself right now.
Actually, I think his first reaction was, sweet, I get to kill this chick.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to off myself so they don't use my body. I still think that was the black guy.
He knew he only had control for a limited amount of time.
Right.
The weirdo son.
Oh, he's been in a couple things, but he looks so messed up with the hair and the child molester mustache. At some point,
I was like, he's so messed up. He's the most normal of all of them.
He is, yeah.
The mother with the tea and the tea glass, and
I wanted to bring a prop. Let's see if I can do it here.
Yeah, and then you got to do that around the rim. But when he comes back upstairs and they lock eyes and they both look at the glass in the middle of the room and he lunges.
And,
and you just hear it shatter. So great.
That's what you have to do at that point.
Yeah, because, as soon as he goes to run out of the room and you see her just spin it and you hear her tap it and he falls backwards. Such a great shot, too, where they zoom into his eyes, like falling, looking up at the screen.
The way they make the sunken place real, which, I mean, this is a low budget film. This was $4 million. But they make it convincing and terrifying.
Yeah. The only place they could have put a little bit more money is the operation room. Because, and this where, for me, first two acts of the movie, almost perfect. The third act falls apart for me a lot. That this guy start to kill right away. I know it's out of self-defense at first, but after, I mean, you get traumatized by these things. You just don't kill people and go on. So I like the fact that he went back for the grandmother, let's say, because that was his trauma.
Right. Yeah, from his childhood.
But you don't, first of all, you don't start an operation until the two buddies are prepped.
Right.
You don't operate a
open guy. Open the guy up. Yeah.
Open brain and have candle in the room.
You open the brain and throw it in the trash can.
You have candles in the room. This place is not secured.
Well, part of me thinks that it's not fully a medical procedure. And the movie doesn't ever tell us that this is a type of magic or a kind of magic to, you know.
Like black magic.
Yeah.
Explain it. They change the brain and then you have yourself that's loaded there.
Hypnotism is part of it. The surgery is part of it. But I think there might be a third part that's, you know, there's a ritual involved.
And you know what? You could chalk it up to this is their 10th or 15th one. Now they're just being sloppy.
Sure. Right?
I mean, whatever. They're sloppy. Chris is finally really smart or really attentive or just scared shitless enough to be aware of it all.
Yeah, right. But and he gets sick because he smokes.
He stuffs the stuffing in his ear, and you know,
yeah, smoking habit saved its life.
Oh,
because yeah, he's scratching because he can't smoke. That's what saves his life in the end.
I guess so.
Again, it's a really intricate movie.
Maybe that's why the girlfriend wanted him to stop smoking. She wanted him to be healthy.
They wanted him to be healthy because they would sell him for what, $20 million?
Yeah, they're gonna put Milton inside of him.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as they sold him,
he's blind. He can't find his stapler.
Stop it.
Every time I see Steven Root in anything, I'm just like, oh, it's Milton. He's in Barry. I don't know if you've watched this on HBO. Very good series. Bill Hader is a hitman who wants to be an actor. Steven Root is kind of like his handler, his boss. And it's so good.
I have not, but nice.
Mm. Recommendation from Lobster.
Okay.
Are you an MMA fan? You know, like UFC, because with your frame and genetic makeup, I was like, oh, okay, this is the rail we're going to start to go off on. And then the whole dinner party, oh, tomorrow's the big party. And it's all like they're sizing them up for sex and for everything else.
Sex slaves.
Yeah, so good.
They're auctioning him off, which has all kinds of weird implications when you consider the racial undertones of the film.
But the meeting beforehand, like the interview process.
But I never thought they wanted to be all black. The movie doesn't bring you there. They bring you in kind of, and this is where the movie is really good, because full disclosure, we're three white guys here. Very, very white American guys.
Wait, you're white?
Yeah, sorry.
And you're American?
I'm North American, yeah.
I guess.
So we're on the same continent. That's my point.
I think for our listeners' purposes, we have seen each other in person. So even though we're recording from three different time zones?
Yes, two
different time zones.
But still,
we know what each other looks like.
But the movie is so well written that I was identifying to the main character and feeling all the same things he was feeling about the racial stuff that was happening around
because
him.
They don't make it racial usually, right. Or they make it so overtly uncomfortable that you go, well, that's just fucked up.
Tiger Woods, huh?
Yeah.
But just the fact to be able to get me to feel what this guy was feeling. And at that point, I was not thinking I was in a horror movie. I was in a huge drama. I was like, fuck, this is what they live with every day.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden. So this movie is great on that. And on top of it, it's a fun horror movie.
It is fun. Yeah.
It's incredible.
There's humor. Yeah. There are jump scares, but not jump scares just for the point of having jump scares. And they also serve the plot. Like, and I'll tell you a second watch moment. So they're driving and they hit the deer, right? And the cop asks for Chris's ID.
And she backs him up.
And she backs him up and says, well, what do you mean? He wasn't driving. Like, what are you doing? And
she doesn't want them to know where he was.
Right. But you in the moment are thinking, you know, this is a racial profiling thing.
Yep.
Right. But in reality, it's an alibi.
Yeah, it could be, because then, and see, I'm still like, I wrote down in my notes, I'm like, that's so cool, that's such a great misdirection that, you know, she's got his back or whatever. Because it's, again, you don't see that coming, that she's going to be the bait to auction him off, because again, early on, later when she's panicking, looking for her keys, and her brother lunges at Chris, she's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And there's actual panic in her voice when you hear and see that she's had the keys around her finger the whole fucking time.
Yeah. She's like, you know, babe, you know I can't give these to you.
Like, yeah, I love her. Yeah, I don't know. What is she in? I've seen her somewhere.
I look on IMDb.
Allison Williams, the daughter of news anchor Brian Williams. And she's most known for her role on Girls, which is an HBO series.
Yeah, she played like an episode of The Simpsons. Well, now she has like three movies lined up, though.
Yeah, yeah. Up and coming. The party that they have is the anniversary of the grandfather's death, but it's also kind of like a birthday party.
It's basically that when they moved him from one body to the other, I guess.
Right, and I kind of feel like he was the first one and kind of pioneered the process. So this is, and it's all these old white people, and they're all there because they're just waiting to be the next ones that are going to get their new bodies.
Yeah, well, they're kind of choosing. You know, the guy that buys the main character, he wants, he's an art,
right, he's
an art dealer. He can't see anything. He wants his eyes.
He wants your eyes, man. Right.
Before he was an art dealer, he was an aspiring photographer, so he really wants his eyes.
Yeah, because he thinks that he's going to get his talent at the same time, I guess.
But if not, he'll still be happy to be able to not have his assistant.
The next person, they just want to, they wish they were a baller. They wish they were a little bit taller.
Nah.
They wish they could be something dipping.
Yeah.
Something.
There's one of the women
lyrics to that song.
Yes.
There's one of the women that's looking for a sex slave, though.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then there's one guy who just wants it for, like, social prowess. He's like, so, is it better to be black? Oh, when the Asian guy asks Chris about, do you think there's more advantages or disadvantages to being an African-American in today's culture? And right then, whatever, Logan or whoever's walking by in the background, he's like, hey, my brother, come here. Why don't you answer this for me? Why don't you take this one?
Yeah, but I like the father saying, like, oh, that's a tough one. And I was like, no, it's not.
Right.
No, it's not. It's a really easy answer. Unfortunately, it's not on the side that we wanted it to be, but it's a really easy answer.
I don't know, man. If Obama could have run for a third term, I would have voted for him.
Hey, I knew Tiger.
It was so bad when you knew she was.
She knew a black guy. That was so bad.
When she was going to say that, when she told you her father was going to say that, so you're like, oh, okay, that's the punchline there. But then when he really says it, you're like, oh my God, it's so much worse.
Well, we've done that 12th time at this point. She knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. True.
And it is, it's so scripted and weird. I don't know.
Yeah. But I prefer her way to do it than the way of the brother, which is basically...
Oh, the kidnapping, right?
Yeah, headlocking you and putting you
What do you think? Are they doing both? Are they doing both, kind of?
Of course, because that's what the start of the movie is about. Because if not, it makes no sense. So when they made that reference, that's where I had the discussion. Who's that guy? The reference, like, his methods are not as fun. I was like, oh, yeah, you got to have 6 months.
But I feel like it kind of...
It's more of a painful, though, thing, too. Like, you might rather just be stolen and betrayed than betrayed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't
want... They each have their methods, right? I mean, that's what he's good at, and that's what she's good at.
While 6 months of sex sounds awesome, it's that psychological torture once you realize what the fuck is going on.
It's the long con, man. It's the long con.
Yeah, but if I'm to be in the sunken place for the rest of my life, might as well have a good 6 months, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, that must be fucked up.
Can we talk about the tear he produces right when he goes into the sunken place, the like open mouth look and that scared eyes with the one tear that rolls down his cheek? Epic.
That was like the poster for the movie, was just him like being all teary faced.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was a great poster. I want to talk about Rod.
Oh my God. We TS motherfucking A. Hell yeah.
We get shit done. We get shit handled.
When he goes to the cops and he tells what's her face, and then she's like, hold on a minute. Now tell them exactly what you just told me.
Never told me. I haven't done anything for you guys.
And they're just
awesome.
Dying.
I love that because. Go to the police with that story. That's probably what's going to happen to you. How are you going to get interned?
He completely figures it out. He knows something is up.
Sex life.
This is my eyes wide shut shit right there.
I love that.
Totally has it figured out. And Chris is just like, yeah, whatever. But he knew. Rod knew.
But let's face it. You're in the real world and you're not in a movie. Yeah, I go outside, smoke a cigarette in the middle of the night and I'm not even... thinking about the fact that somebody's gonna hypnotize me and put my brain outside. You know, in real life, you would be like, oh no, this is fucked up. I'm just panicking. It can't be that.
But by the time
you think you need a cigarette to calm you down.
But by the time that I just found her shoebox full of a dozen earlier That's... boyfriends, I probably would have locked her in the room with me, made sure she had the keys on her. If not, I would have went out that second story balcony and ran my ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you know it, he knows at that point in time she's lying to him. So
is she at that point? I'm like, she's the hypnotizer as well. Maybe it's not. She's not even their daughter. Maybe she's just a girl that they hypnotize every time.
Okay,
to bring some
maybe.
People.
But dude, I hadn't even I hadn't even thought that. I was just like, she's lying. She's lying. Run.
I think she's just evil.
Yeah, because you can.
I didn't want to know to think she was evil. I really wanted her to be good for some reason.
I think
she's
evil.
Well, with that music and the Fruit Loops at the end.
Well, I think you. When she smiles at the end, when he's choking her.
Yeah.
Because first she's, no, don't. And then she just smiles. And that's when he stops.
Turned him into a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I have one very negative point, now that you bring the music, I think the music's a little bit too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Blumhouse movie, right?
Yeah, so it's not subtle.
Is it Blumhouse or Blumhouse? I don't know.
Blumhouse.
Blum. Like rhymes with glum. All right. But yeah, it's a horror movie soundtrack. I do like how they work in pop music and kind of those themes.
What's she listen to when she's eating her Fruit Loops?
I had the time of my life.
So fucked up.
It all to you. But yeah, there's good stuff there, and it's fun. This is a fun movie. This is a horror movie that I feel like is watchable and rewatchable.
Yeah, because there's at least two levels. Usually a horror movie, I'm once and done, and I'm like, okay, cool. Except
but it's not a Sixth Sense. It doesn't Shyamalan you. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, it doesn't lead you so far afield just to be like, oh, no, remember that? No.
No, because the movie is brilliant enough to give you that trail of crumb, to give you all these possibilities instead of being just hinged on one twist.
Right.
It makes you work the plot as you go along. And this is, again, where the genius
and
is.
I think even if there wasn't that twist, there's still enough sort of drama and tension already.
That's the point, though. It's not just jump scares. There's this build up, like all good movies have that, that has that. Tension. You could cut with a knife.
Oh, yeah. The first 45 minutes was crazy. And at the moment where I was like, okay, the second act starting to be a little bit long, as soon as I said that, they started putting the bingo cards. I was like, nice timing, because I was starting to feel it and you bring me back in.
And then they zoom out from there and it's a picture of Chris and you're like, motherfucker.
And then he does the fist in the hand.
That's making me laugh.
Are they going to beat him? But no, that's his gavel. He was
silent
the
auction.
Gavel like, yep, auctioneer.
Ah, fuck my life.
Yeah, that was great.
Yep. What she said.
That's awesome. That'll be perfect.
Any other stuff from this? Do you think it deserved the praise that it got? Do you think it deserved more or less? What do you think?
I think it deserved everything it got. I mean,
it did. Yeah. I'm sorry if I got you. Keep going.
No, I was just, it deserved everything it got. It just, when stuff gets that, it gives me the yips to see it, like I said. But I'm super happy that I did end up seeing it, and wow. Yeah, I'm ready for whatever he's doing next. I hear it's going to be equally as uncomfortable. I think we talked about it recently.
I hope so. Yeah, I thought this was really good. I thought that it probably should have gotten more praise. It was a tough year, I think, because a lot of stuff was good. I'm glad that he got his Oscar for Best Original Screenplay on his debut film. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to be a little bit harsher than you. I think it deserved the Oscar on screenplay. It shows that it's a first movie, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
The cinematography is okay. Right. I mean, he has a good grammar, but it's not impressive. Like I said, the music's a little bit too much.
Right.
But the script is so good that you forget that stuff and you just let it go.
And I will say it is hindered a little bit by, I think, its budget and the studio that produced it. But on the other hand, I don't think it's hindered by... Like, you don't see them cutting corners. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything works. And imagine what he can do with just a little bit more money and a little bit more talent in other areas to collaborate with.
Yeah, I think you changed the director of photography.
Right. And the score.
And the score, and you're pretty close, but I don't think more money, except to hire these people, let's say.
Right, that's what I mean. I'm not saying to throw at special effects or a big set piece.
Because
I'm
the special effects are good for what they are.
It's all fine. Oh, the deer head. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
So messed up.
The whole time when he's staring at that deer head, I'm like, he's thinking about that. And what is he going to do with it? And he just rams the guy through with it. Oh, Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, but he's thinking about his mother at the when he did the deer. They bring all that, but you don't know the first time because they didn't get that story yet. Again, this movie fucking is so well written.
Bradley Whitford tells us that he hates deer. He thinks they're a plague.
I didn't get that. Yeah, he says that, and I'm like,
yeah,
what? What? You're weird.
It's a start. All right, so should we wrap this one up? And Get Out.
Oh, I see what you did there. Wing, for Get Out, are you going legendary?
My man.
Legend of its time.
I would have voted for a third term.
Cult legend.
I don't know if you notice. White people love making people sex slaves and shit.
Awesome.
You were one of my favorites.
Entertaining.
Bruh, how are you not scared of this?
Mabel.
Some Eyes Wide Shut situation.
Forgettable.
Life can be a sick joke.
Abysmal.
The Sunken Place.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
All right, I'm going with the Ashton Kutcher, Bernie Mac, Guess Who remake. That's bad news. Bad news right there. Yeah. I think it's Zoe Saldana, too, isn't it, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, but she was starting. She didn't even do Avatar at that point, so that's what launched her.
It was early. Launched her off the cliff. Thanks, Thanos.
Yeah. Okay, for this one, this is a tough one. This is a very, very tough one to place on our kind of scale. Mm. Oh, God. I'm going to give it a very, very solid entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think the script is brilliant. Like I said, there's a couple of things here and there, but you can let them go pretty easily. The topic they're discussing is timely and is important for people to realize what I realized in the middle of the movie and stuff like that. So I'm going to give them a very solid entertaining. They're at a hair to get an awesome from me at this point. Really a little thing, but that's... Totally enjoy watching this movie. I was entertained for the whole 110 minutes I was watching it. Beef?
Oh, man. Ah, I got to bump you up one. I got to say a solid awesome. You were one of my favorites. I really enjoy this, and I will go back and watch it a handful of times. Just it keeps you guessing, and to see... To watch him squirm and feel myself squirm with how uncomfortable this movie is just with the situations, and you know shit's going to go badly for him all the way through. So, yeah, solid awesome. Lobster?
All right, Beef. I know you do another podcast. I know we kind of talked about it a little bit. I don't know if you noticed, but white people love making people sex slaves and shit.
Cult legends, man. I
gotta give this a cult legend because this was a fantastic movie start to finish. It hooked me right from the photographs at the start up until you see the police lights flash at the end and you think he's about to get busted for everything that just went down that is not his fault. He was just trying to get away from it because that's the experience, right? So I thought this movie nailed it start to finish. I think for certainly a directorial debut, I think Peele defied all expectations, I think, of what people had of him. And I think if you watched Key and Peele, he's probably not your favorite on that show. You probably like Keegan-Michael Key a little bit more because he's a little bit more out there in his performance. So the fact that Jordan Peele was able to come at this right, something that kind of fits firmly in the black experience, but at the same time elevates the horror genre in this way. I had a lot of fun watching it. This is one of the rare movies that we do on the cast that I'm convinced my wife to watch with me. She really enjoyed it. We talked about, you know, where we saw it coming, this and that. But again, I think this is going to stand as a cult legend of the ages.
That's something we should revisit in like 2-3 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Once he starts pumping out a few more movies, I think people will come back to this and look at it.
Hopefully not in a District 9 sort of way.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think he's going to be like Neil Blomkamp and keep trying to make the same movie but different.
Right.
When all people want is that same movie again. I think he's going to do different stuff, and he's going to...
Wasn't there a District 10? Never mind, sorry.
It's coming in 2 years, just been announced. Shut up. He's going back to the well.
Yeah, but I think what Jordan Peele is going to do is he's going to keep playing with those ideas and themes, and I would like to see him do different stuff. And if they ever do Black James Bond, which I hope they do, have Jordan Peele be the writer for that and the director, because I think whatever genre you kind of put him in, I think he could tell awesome stories with it.
I could dig that.
You know how I know it's not going to be a Blomkamp? Blomkamp did District 9 and then took the big freaking budget to go do Elysium. Yeah. This guy was offered Akira, and he's a huge fan. And he was like, I don't want to do a blockbuster right now. I want to do another small movie.
Wait a minute. He was offered Akira?
Yeah, and he refused.
Nice.
To do another small piece for him. Right. So this guy understands, don't just take the money to do a big thing. Work your craft.
Yeah.
Keep doing these little things to get better. Get a better cinematographer next time. Get a better guy to the score. This is a guy to look at. He's going to have an Oscar, director Oscar at some point. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe they'll bring him in. Go ahead.
Isn't Waititi directing Avatar, Akira now? I'm pretty sure he's the next one lined up to do Akira.
I don't want Taika Waititi. I'm sorry.
But he's going to base it on the source material, not a remake of the movie, but the like 80 manga.
Yeah, but based on the work, I've seen all his work at this point. I love what he's doing. I don't think he's a good fit.
Okay.
All right. Last word on Get Out.
Get Out!
Get Out.
Favorites.
Yeah, definitely one of mine. Fruit Loops. Fucking Fruit Loops. Beef, what time is it?
Nose time.
Holy moly, you guys. Avengers, number one at the box office, third weekend in a row, only dropped 45%. This weekend, and it is now the number five biggest film of all time. It's passed Black Panther globally, at least until Deadpool comes out next weekend.
I have my tickets. I'm so ready.
That's awesome.
I have my ticket for Thursday night.
It's king of the world.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're killing it.
Other movies came out this weekend that were not Avengers them. Infinity War, but I, you know, that's what it is right now, man.
I like that A Quiet Place is still up there making cash.
Yeah. And again, I mentioned that earlier that I think A Quiet Place is the Get Out of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I think at this point, we're in kind of a renaissance on horror movie. I've seen I'm not a big horror fan, but I have had to see a couple in the last 2 years because they made great ones. So
I think with any genre, it's about new voices. And I think when you bring people from other walks of life, other genres of acting and film, you get fun stuff.
Yeah, and Blumhouse doesn't care. They're going to give you $5 million to produce any freaking movie. And sometimes they make $250 million out of it.
And sometimes they don't.
What was it? Yeah. Get Out was $157 million at its 39-day total, and A Quiet Place is $170 million.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
$5 million budget. That's a return of investment, my friend.
It does good. It does good stuff.
So David Tennant is still not able to open a movie?
Yeah, that was last week's.
Oh, sorry.
I don't really have a flop alert, except I guess Melissa McCarthy didn't excite, but I don't think she's excited in a while.
I don't think there's going to be a Rampage sequel.
Or Overboard? Yeah. I mean, Overboard's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody I know that's seen this movie tells me it's good.
Okay. And
I can't.
I mean, the first one was good. I don't know why we needed another one, but we did, I guess. So.
Yeah, did they reverse the role in this one?
Sure.
So.
Does romantic comedies do romantic comedies fall into your buddy comedy thing? So this
no. Okay. I love romantic comedy.
Well, okay. And the other thing, too, and I read an article on this, I'm sorry, I don't remember where, is that Marvel has made themselves counter-programming proof because their films have such a wide appeal that they can kind of get away with owning the box office for a month or more. So I don't even know.
Black Panther is still number 9.
Yeah, fucking Black Panther. On DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Which I purchased.
You can go out and get Black Panther, watch it at home, but people still are watching it at the theaters to the tune of like $2 million.
It's when you look at, you like box office, look at Disney and now look at all the other studios.
Yeah.
You need at least two to start competing. Not right, winning, right. Start competing. Disney is becoming, I'm sorry to say, way too big at the moment.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Fox merger was going to pass because
I don't know, but people are saying they like Solo too, so
yeah, we'll see. I got we'll my see tickets for rolls. That as well. Oh my god. Yeah,
that's another thing. Everybody's been saying that some previews have been going out that this movie is a fun summer blockbuster ride and it's a perfect day to get it.
I think that's we kind of hemmed and hawed about was moving to summer the right thing, and it may just be.
Yeah, it may just be. But for these kind of movie anyway.
Let's switch gears, talk about TV, because we are in the middle of pilot season, cancellations, and upfronts, because things are getting hairy. None of your favorite shows are safe. I will point to Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox.
Isn't that been renewed?
Well, to paraphrase, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is dead. Long live Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It died on Fox and comes back to life on NBC, which is the studio that developed it and passed on it and sold it to Fox. So really, it's just coming home.
Oh, my God.
So after 31 hours was all it took for Brooklyn Nine-Nine to get picked up somewhere
else. I'm glad that they got their 13-episode sixth season. Whether that's the end of it or not, I mean, that's at least they gave them something.
I'm in the same place with Gotham. They gave them a last season to close all that up. And after this amazing season, I'm okay with that. I think the show has run its course.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for another season. It looks like all the DC Universe shows on CW are getting picked up again. So
Whoa. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed for 13-episode season, which I'm kind of surprised.
Did I say Legends? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Maybe Legends, I said Legends of
S.H.I.E.L.D. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a podcast. I don't know. It's on the Gonna Geek Network. You can listen to it. But, yeah, it got picked up, and it's going to be a summer season, too. So
yeah, so I think this is wrapping up.
Which I think is okay, considering probably half the cast is dead, right?
They should. Technically, they should. They're technically fucked. Basically, they're fucked.
Yeah. I think that's why it's going to be a summer show, so they can just sidestep that whole thing.
Yeah, since Perlmutter is not in the picture anymore, they don't care about the TV stuff. Kevin Feige already said that multiple times. Like, Coulson is dead in our universe. He lives on TV. So at this point, they just fuck him up.
Yeah.
Finish that show.
I don't know. But again, on the other hand, I feel like Marvel could do 6 seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then do a movie, and people would fucking go see it. It'd be number one at the box office. People who never watch the TV show be like, oh, Marvel? Cool, let's go see that. And then do the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie.
Look at what people went to see the Inhumans.
Yeah, Inhumans and IMAX. Just basically do 2 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to wrap up the series, but put it out in theaters.
But nobody saw that, though. Yeah.
I want to go to another show near and dear to Beef's heart and my own, The Expanse on Sci-Fi. Got the axe.
Sci-Fi says that this season that's airing, the third season,
yeah.
Yeah, and a few days ago when this comes out. But yeah, they said this current season that is airing right now will be the final season that is on Sci-Fi. They're assholes. They canceled another phenomenal...
Siffy.
Right. I mean, I kind of understand because they only have first-run rights. They don't have rights to broadcast.
I don't
understand
that. Yeah.
I don't either. It just sounds bad. They don't have rights to rebroadcast or
stream.
Or sell it or stream it. So someone like Netflix or Amazon, someone that's got some cash, these sets are already built. This is real sci-fi. The actors are already signed in. It's you got like four books or something to base this off.
Yeah, but what are the numbers? What are the numbers? I don't care about the set.
They're the same as most broadcast television that people can't DVR and rewatch things.
Okay, so they're kind of in the middle. It makes sense for sci-fi to cancel it, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, we've seen sci-fi before call shows that they don't own the full IP for. And I could see... I mean, we kind of saw this coming, I think, when Black Mirror got canned, right? Like, I was like, what about The Expanse? But I definitely see the benefit in picking this show up again at another network. One, it's based on a book series, and the books are good and selling well. So, like, if the books weren't selling and or people weren't interested in them, I could see maybe putting the kibosh on it because you have to pay writers to come up with new stories. But if the stories are there and you just have to adapt them, then it kind of makes sense to...
It's hard sci-fi. It's political drama.
I don't want to stop you there, but if I have a book to adapt or I can write my own shit as a writer, I ask way less to write my own stuff.
If you've read the books and watched The Expanse, you know that they're already... Like, they've already thrown out a lot of stuff from the books. They're not beholden to it. There's a main character who I'm pretty sure is supposed to be dead, right? Like, and I don't want to spoil anything for viewers of the show, but last time I watched, he wasn't dead.
Okay, so. But I'm just saying, adapting, anyway, in my point of view, is a way harder job than just coming up with my own stuff. Because I'm not a slave from a previous work that's loved, if you want.
But I think if you take the Game of Thrones approach, like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter. It takes on a life of its own, and you just do whatever you want. Like, you have the books there as a reference and kind of a guide, but on the other hand, the show, after three seasons, becomes its own thing.
But you want to talk about genius writers? The first two seasons of Game of Thrones, the adaptation they made, that genius writing. They were paid for that.
Yes.
I just I want them not to dangle good shit like this in front of our face because sci-fi always does it for like three seasons and then dumps it. I hope this gets saved and give me another one or two or three episodes or seasons somewhere or something to tie it up because the story that they're telling is so rich and interwoven.
And I hope that it gets picked up either streaming or premium cable so they can do the violence.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sex and the language that should be there that sci-fi couldn't do.
Is it me, but the way the medias are changing right now, instead of having a pilot now, they have one or two seasons on global TVs.
On broadcast.
And then they're like, we can't sell any ads on that. And streaming service is like, screw this. We don't sell ads anyway.
We'll get the subscribers.
That's what half the shit is on Netflix. They pick up stuff from Denmark and Dark and all that crap. And it's not bad stuff. It's nice that different audiences that aren't tired of that shit can see it.
And even if it's just to do two seasons and finish out a narrative.
Help us. Please.
Yep. It's good.
You know what? If you want to charge me the extra dollar a month till you close this thing out, Netflix or Amazon, I'll give you it. Yeah.
Sign us up. I don't really want to go back to movies because I think that was a good discussion. Maybe we'll shelve this last piece of news.
Perfect.
I guess we're going to get another Predator movie.
Oh, I love the trailer. I love this trailer.
Hold on. I totally forgot
Shane Black directed that, too.
While I'm like Wing, I like the trailer. I have reservations because this feels a lot like Alien vs. Predator, Dawson's Creek.
Alien vs. Predator vs. Predalien vs. blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, one...
With the guy from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang writing.
Yeah, Shane Black. I'm a fan.
Get it. And the actors, a lot of the actors are going to be phenomenal. And it's just... A lot of kid play and just weird stuff in the trailer that makes me think it's going to be Predators in Suburbia.
I love that it's intercut with him playing with the device.
Yes.
Like it's a spaceship. And then like, it's intercut with the actual spaceship. Yeah. So good.
I was sure he would start the freaking bomb and the old region, like his old block would just be nuked. And
I don't know. I don't know about the predators are editing their genetic code. Are they symbiotes?
Why do they need humans? I know update with xenomorph, sure, right, but right. Humans?
And how do we, I guess, you know, we've been studying them for a while, but now all of a sudden we can read their data. I don't know. It's weird.
I guess we had the tech since 1988, and there's a rumor that Arnold is a cameo in there.
Ugh. That's fine. Whatever.
When is this?
Probably play the sheriff.
I'm going to say end of the summer.
What? Did people see Predators, and how did they feel about it?
I find it better than the original, personally, and I'm the only one on Earth.
Yeah, I think you probably are, right?
I did like it. I don't think I found it better than the original, but
I think the Predator franchise shows that it can bleed, and as we know, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
And if it bleeds, you can follow it in the Predator world.
Yeah, well, Predator anyway, they make a movie every 10 years. They kind of don't do exactly what they want with it. And on the other end, it's really tough to sequelize because the first one is an 80s.
It's like action. It's a one-off, right?
Yeah.
But the second one is a good follow-up to that, I think.
The second one is a piece of shit, except for the last 10 minutes. Come on.
Except for when you see in the ship the alien skull.
Right.
The xenomorph, yeah.
And the old flintlock.
That's when you're like, oh, this is a thing.
I like the old flintlock pistol that they've been coming back through time and all this other shit. Like, there's some good stuff in there.
There's good stuff, but the movie is crap.
The only one that I really like is AVP, and I will defend that movie.
You know what? I will defend that one as well because I like that they add the mythology to it.
I'm going to say that I don't like what they did with the script. I think it's kind of a little bit easy, but
it's good. Right? It's a good movie.
The end of it gets a little weird.
Well, funny story. So I had a friend, I have a friend. I'm actually going to his wedding this weekend, who used to work at a theater, and he worked there when AVP came out, and he remembers like waiting in the back of the theater to like clean up after the showing. And it's the scene where the Predator takes off its mask and it like looks at Shauna Lathan, and it's got its like jowls coming open and she's got the scar on her face and stuff. And somebody in the theater goes, "They're gonna make out." They're gonna make out. So I do like AVP.
Have we done AVP Wing? We should add that to the list. I could go for a rewatch.
I don't know if we've done it because I watch it every year anyway.
Yeah, so well, I'm adding it to the list because we watch it before the next one.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, in this house, we're a huge Aliens fan. We know AVP is not the greatest Alien movie, but it's still fun. We don't watch the second one. The second one is some dark...
That was dumb.
Student movie.
AVP was good.
It's AVP Dawson's Creek or AVP One Tree Hill. There's like dating and bad stuff. And
yeah, but if we're talking like filmography, for some reason, and I have a good TV, I have to put the brightness up to see something on the screen.
It's dumb.
I don't know why they did that. They fucked up with this thing.
We need more lines. We need more lines in our spreadsheet, Lobster. You got to help out.
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry.
But first, I know I mentioned that I was. We had some bad weather here. We had some thunderstorms. Thunderbolts and lightning. Very, very frightening. Galileo. Galileo.
That was a hell of a trailer. The fact that they didn't use just one song, but they weaved like four or five songs in it, it makes me feel this is a Queen movie.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody, the teaser trailer just dropped. This is the movie that Freddie Mercury had been recast. Originally, we were going to have Borat.
Singer was booted after.
Bryan Singer was the director. So, I mean, this is a movie that is. To say that it was troubled in the development is no small understatement.
Lucky we're even getting it.
Yeah. And it looks good. I don't know. I mean,
trailer is good anyway. No interest to see this, and then at the end of it, I found myself humming their tunes and shit. Right. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to see this.
And that's kind of one of the things. Like, it's if they have all the rights to the music and they can do it well. I mean, I hope that they didn't just have the rights to use it in the trailer and we can actually see it in the film.
Yeah. But if you want the story of how this movie got to get made, basically, there was a first script with Borat. I don't know what his name, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, that's nice.
And this script was really, really close to reality. And the Freddie Mercury estate refused to portray his drug problems.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't want that on the screen whatsoever. So what they did, basically, they hired their own screenwriter to write what they want in the movie. So I'm excited to see the movie because it looks good.
Right.
I have a reserve in...
We're going to get the sanitized version.
Yeah, we're getting the Disney version of the Freddie Mercury life. And I'm sorry, that's not exactly what I want to see.
Why?
I want to see the greedy stuff. This guy was a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll kind of see how it goes. Part of me thinks that they're going for the Greatest Showman audience because P.T. Barnum was not the greatest guy either, yet they sold the hell out of that movie with a sanitized storyline.
It was not great.
All right. One last piece of news. I put this in because I thought it was a lot of fun. So Marvel Studios, one of the things that we've kind of thought about is after 10 years, 20 movies, Marvel Studios really with the MCU established themselves with Iron Man. But why? Why Iron Man? Why not Captain America or Thor or the Hulk or Ant-Man or any other superhero to launch this franchise? Well, it turns out they did some focus grouping, some product testing, and found out that kids wanted to play with Iron Man toys the most. So they decided that that was going to be their flagship franchise to launch endeavor.
He's basically a rich man in an iron suit that can do anything because he's so rich and he's a smart ass. Yep. I mean, how would kids not response to that more than Thor?
Basically, he's Batman, but funny.
Right. He's a relatable Batman. That's the thing.
He's got... He basically is a walking Transformer, so you can sell all kinds of different versions and add-ons and...
Three in the first movie alone.
Right. So they were freaking smart, and they took a lot of chances with this one. I don't think any of us quite appreciate how much of a train wreck Robert Downey Jr. was and the insurance rider they had to take out on him just to get him in the movie.
I remember that because at some point Tom Cruise had the role because
he
was uninsured, but not Tom Cruise, but Robert Downey Jr. was uninsurable.
Right,
he had to pay for a bunch of stuff to be able to do the movie himself. But look,
and within 5 years, he was the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Yeah, but we have to be honest, though, we tend to forget, but Iron Man was written, part of it was written on the day of shooting. This was a train wreck of a shoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got lucky.
They got very, very lucky, and they had Paramount to distribute. So
they kept the humor in. Even if that was everything that they randomly shot was a lot of that crap, it worked well. They had a heart and a life to it that made that movie still rewatchable to this day.
And toys.
And toys. Yeah, clearly.
That's a big deal. Because I think Marvel's calculus was that they might not kill it at the box office, but they can make it back in merchandising. What film famously followed the same calculus?
Star Wars. But it's the same story, basically, because they took a $200 million loan, $300 million loan to four or five movies. That was where they were going. They paid it after Iron Man.
Yep.
So that was a really good risk to take, but it was a risk. The same way that when they gave, what was it, $15 million for Star Wars in the 70s, which is a lot of money in today's money, was the same kind of risk that they took. And what paid off, as you said, merchandising. Merchandising gives you money and gives you free publicity. People tend to forget that, but every time you go to a Walmart and they announce, I went to buy Solo Cup today. There's Han Solo on my Solo Cup package.
There's Solo on your Solo Cup.
Which I was like...
I saw that one coming. I saw that one coming. But.
Well, I thought it was a fun joke when they called the movie Red Cup, but that they merchandise that after? That's where we are. But it tells the people, there's a new Star Wars movie? Because my mother didn't know.
Yeah. So. But she drinks now her beer in Solo Cup, so.
Yeah, now she knows, and beer. She's really excited because she loves Star Wars, so.
Okay. Where were we? That was news.
I think that was done. News. Okay, so, yeah. Next time, Legends Podcast, Deadpool 2.
Probably.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I think there's a good chance that we'll talk about that. Reviews are coming out. And
percent of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, like, but people are like, this movie's all over the place. No friggin' shit. It's a Deadpool movie.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. I think it'll still be fun. Screw it. Who cares? It's the first one blew my mind, so I'm ready for the second one.
People say that the story's a little bit more complicated. I found the first one a little bit too streamlined, so I might just love it.
Yeah.
This has been episode 373 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, my man, I don't even know where he heard that.
I'm John D saying, get out.
And I'm John Lobster saying, if you want to make it in the movies, you got to sell toys.
Well, that, yeah.
I can't wait for my Get Out teacup and brain transplant easy bake oven.
Brain transplant kit. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.